May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Even now you're not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere lost people? When one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunities to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but is God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's, we're fellow workers. Do you know that word there in the King James is fellow laborers? I think that's a better, actually, translation. And the word fellow labor there is the word we get synergy from. And synergy, as you know, just means that one thing is dependent on another thing for it to be fully fulfilled, for the purpose to be fully accomplished. That this one on its own can do, but not do all that's meant to be done or all that could potentially be done. That's the amazing thing to say that God says he's chosen. Now, God can do anything, right? But he's chosen that we, the bride of Christ, who will rule and reign with him forever, that we are in a relationship with him of synergy, that we're co-laborers with him, and that he has chosen to so involve us in his purposes. This is such a powerful thing. If you've ever felt that you lived a small life, then you've never prayed a prayer, or you've never served the Lord at any level, because you're called to be in synergy with him, and that God has chosen to limit what can be done apart from your participation. It involves your participation in his purposes, your obedience, your cooperation, and your prayers for the things that God thinks of and desires to get done, at the highest level. That's amazing. You know, when Dutch Sheets was here, almost a couple years ago, he talked about synergy being generational, and that we add prayers onto those who've come before us, and they build, just like a snowball going down a hill that gets bigger and bigger. And that's true. But there's also just that partnership synergy with God today. That as you offer obedience, as you lend your humanity, God has limited himself to doing the things that he does at its fullest measure to your cooperation, your obedience, your participation, your humanity's being available to him. Now, whenever I think about that reality, I think in terms of, wow, so if I step into a place, or let's just say in my prayers, Revelation chapter 8 really explains it so powerfully, that when I pray, when one person prays, this is just one example of synergy. When one person prays, the example that when John prayed, heaven was silent for 30 minutes. Your voice, your participation is so significant to God, it's as if there was like this silence. Bill's praying. And the result of Bill's praying, even the simplest prayers, it says spiritually, it's like lightning and thunder and earthquakes are sent to the earth in the spiritual realm and shake things up and change things. That's also true when I just lend my humanity, when I step into a situation of obedience and just participate. He moves in partnership with me. Just a stunning thought. But it doesn't just start there with actions. This is the thing that I was thinking about this morning. My co-laboring with him begins at the level of God's dreams, God's heart desires, that I get to dream with him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. What a fascinating scripture that Psalm 37 is. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. We'll talk about that scripture more tomorrow, but think about that. I used to say this, I believe it now more than ever before. If you're living in a place of cynicism, you've grown into a place of cynicism, disappointment, discouragement, it's not because you've hoped for too much and therefore have been left disappointed. It's because you've hoped for too little. And God created you and I. We're wired to dream God's dreams. The co-laboring begins in the board meeting, spiritually, where I get to be in union with his thoughts and to, in conversation, dream with him. That's synergy. That's where the co-laboring begins. And I'll read this real quickly. Then you begin to participate in action, either through prayer or obedience. Listen to this in Luke chapter 11. Won't do the whole thing, but Jesus is praying. Came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Well, these were good religious Jews. They knew how to pray. But they're saying, we've never prayed like that. We want to pray like you pray. We want to be in participation with the purposes of God because things seem to happen after you pray that we've never seen happen before. We've only read about and hoped for. So he does the Lord's Prayer thing, and then he gives us an example. The Lord's Prayer is a pretty significant thing. You've heard me talk about it before, but in verse 5 he says, "Suppose one of you should have a friend. You should go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. But a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' From inside he shall say, 'Do not bother me. The door has been shut. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything, I tell you,' even though he will not get up and give him anything just because he's his friend. Yet because of his audacity," that's the Greek word there, "because of his shamelessness and audaciousness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. I say to you, therefore," because you see, God's more than our friend, so he's never reluctant. So you add his desire and willingness to our audacity. "I say to you, therefore, keep asking and you'll keep being given to. Keep seeking and you'll just keep finding. Keep knocking and it'll keep being open to you. For everyone who keeps asking keeps receiving. He who keeps seeking keeps finding. He who keeps knocking, it shall be open. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He wouldn't give him a snake instead of a fish, would he? Or if he asked for an egg, would he give him a scorpion? No. And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your father, to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father continually give more of the things of the Spirit to those who audaciously ask him?" I tell you, a fun exercise. It'll change your prayer life. Before you pray, co-labor with him. Start dreaming with him God-sized dreams. And then go pray audacious prayers. then render audacious, reckless obedience, risk. But the co-laboring starts in your heart with the dreaming. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.